This is PT Talker, presented by Advantage Medical. The aim of this podcast is to expose physical therapists to unique and innovative ideas to help grow their business. Each broadcast will introduce you to new concepts that will save you time, provide a better patient outcome, or lower your cost. And now, the host of PT Talker, Jeff Worrell.
Jeff Worrell back with part two of our two-part series with Fran Fowler. She is the managing director of Health Dimensions Group, an expert in our field, someone that is looking into her crystal ball. And if you missed part one, you better go back and hear it, because part two, I guarantee you, is I am sure that it's going to be filled with tons of information that you can use. Fran Fowler, welcome to our show.
Well, thank you. It's great to be back again.
I have enjoyed talking to you. I learned so much. And when we talked last week, you were telling me about just a couple of things. I wanted to go back, the balance. Now, it seemed to me that that was just a huge tidbit of information that you threw out there that I wonder if many of our listeners realize just how critical of a piece of information that was. Can you expand on that just a little bit?
Well, the issue of, and we were talking how it was in the physician pay for performance package, which is really rolling out and will be rolling out over the next few years, even more so. Mm-hmm. But I think if you even step back beyond that, Medicare, CMS has been looking for ways to actually reduce utilization of expensive, the expensive acute care, and one of the things that is really looking to reduce is the number of fractured hips.
Mm-hmm.
And in their analysis, and rightfully so, they looked at the fractured hips, and many of them occur because of gait and balance problems. People get dizzy, they fall down the steps, et cetera. And this is basically where some of the fractured hips, not all of them, but some of the fractured hips occur. And so in their wisdom, they now have included in the physician's exam the actually a mini game balance question that deals with falls, numbers, and injuries. And the physician, in order, and it's only one of a number of different parameters, but in order for them to make the incentive in the payment system, they must refer a person who answers these, I think it's like, or meets these four or five criteria, they must answer basically take that and do a referral for gait and balance, and obviously it's going to go to an outpatient
so they're
setting.
They're required to send them for more, for therapy, for the gait and balance.
For the evaluation.
Okay.
And if the evaluation shows that, in fact, it is a gait and balance problem, then they will be treated.
Okay.
If it does not, then they will still have the evaluation. So, and they're annual physical. And right now, that is not a question that is asked. That is not. Most people present either with the dizziness, and that's part of the problem, or continually falling down, which is the other part
right.
of the problem. But basically, I would say that certainly no one asks that question.
Yeah.
I don't know of any physician who routinely asks, you know, did you fall in the last year? How many times? How'd you hurt yourself? These various things. So,
now,
it should do a lot on the preventive side.
No kidding. Now this becomes standard operating procedure when, do you think?
Well, I think it's the physicians that are under the pay-for-performance, and they have been select groups. We're really just coming out of the demonstration period.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that you will see, you will begin to see pockets of it, but as this emerges, you're going to begin to see the groundswell. I think it's going to take probably a couple of years before you begin to see the groundswell.
Okay.
That is really going to make a difference. But it is something that everyone should be keeping track of, and that it's a surprising because many physicians who haven't gone on the pay-for-performance yet do not realize that's one of the requirements.
So a therapist might be wise to start marketing themselves with balance capabilities, assessment capabilities now to some of these GPs, general
yes.
practitioners? And
general practitioners. Usually, you know, most people know the ear, eyes, nose, and throat. They were called the ENT physicians
uh-huh.
for many years, but they, they're often ones who receive the physician referral
mm-hmm.
for questioning, for the further evaluation for the gait and balance. So some clients we have actually gone and joint ventured with the ENT physicians to create a program that they can do the evals right in their office. They can do the treatments there, or that it's a part ownership of the outpatient ambulatory center that that effectively becomes the source of the valves and treatment. So, yes.
Okay, excellent. Very good. Well, thank you for that piece of information. Now, I wanted to go back also in our industry and the physical therapists that I talk to, a lot of them, we had a scare a couple years ago when there was the Medicare cap was, reduced and frozen and changed and just it threw everything into turmoil. Do you see anything like that happening again based on what you feel might be going on now?
Well, I think, everyone needs to know why the cap occurred. If you did the analysis of the data, you notice hospitals never went under the cap.
Mm-hmm.
Outpatient in hospitals never went under a cap. And the reason for that is if you look at the utilization, the physical therapy practices or rehab center practices that weren't hospital-based, actually patients who were in there five times longer than they were and services provided to a hospital.
And that's just a statistic.
Number of visits, right?
A statistic that was that came to light after some analysis.
Right.
Okay.
Right, and I think five times, but it was significant. The number of times, more visits. So when the government looked at it and said, if these can treat people at this level, why can't they treat over here at the same level? And there was reason to believe that they fact for holding them longer, and this is particularly if you looked in Florida and those places with high Medicare population, there's reason to believe they might have had a reason to believe that. So what the cap was designed to stop that practice.
Okay.
I mean, even though you could get through it, that's one thing. The next thing is that there's no indication that functional gains are achieved in outpatient therapy. And yet everyone knows that's not the case. They are achieved, but there's never been a measurement system. There's never been a standardized. So, I think there is three or four right now, and I'm not the expert on that piece, that are in play to begin looking at it. The problem, I think, that CMS has and what physical therapists should be standing up, or all therapists should be standing up to and making the government recognize it, that there's a big difference both in functional gains as well as in required number of treatments between neuro patients and orthopedic, people who just need it for orthopedic reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And the patients with neurological deficits require more treatment over a longer period of time. And so when you begin to look at it, I think that there are some things that therapists could do, and now is going to be a good time to help reshape it because they are slowly moving to a pay-for-performance and outpatient. And it is going to be there. There are just bigger fish right now that they're trying to go after, but it will be there in a very short period of time. They'll be there within the next few years easily.
Yeah. And is that something that CMS directly oversees, or is that a bigger organization of some type?
No, it will be CMS, but generally the way that CMS goes, all insurers go.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so that's what you're going to look at. So you're going to say they're going to have to evaluate them based upon standardized approved programs when they come in, and then evaluate them either periodically or when they're through with the therapy to show the functional gain. And so I think that doing that and those patients who have functional gains is above a certain level or a certain consistency will get more money than mm-hmm. those who treat patients who don't get a functional gain.
Yeah.
So they're hoping to take patients out who may be borderline for receiving the care. And there are problems with the way that they're approaching it, but by and large, I think that's really how they're going to get around any kind of cap. They have not been able to, at this point, come up with any other way to control the business.
Yeah. Now, and will hospital outpatient facilities be judged the same way as, say, a physical therapist that owns an outpatient facility?
I think so. I think everybody will be judged. Where I think that therapists could make the biggest difference, though, is making sure through their own associations that the message is sent clear to CMS that they need to differentiate these populations and look at the functional gain requirements, look at all the indicators differently because they seem to have lost sight that these are two very different populations that require different approaches to the treatment.
Hmm. Wow. Well, what else do you see going on out there in the world of physical therapy? In our last couple of minutes we have left, anything else that you want to share with us?
I think, I think we've talked a little bit about long-term care. Yes, there is, now that I just happen to think of it. Physical therapy, there's a tremendous quiet movement taking place in the long-term care population. And it is actually, it's actually quite interesting. There are organizations that actually have created the small home community model, yeah, where long-term care beds are in 10 beds per home, and the whole setting is as a home. And so they will cluster homes around. They look like homes. You walk in there, and there's a, you know, cathedral ceiling with a living room and a dining area and an open kitchen and, you know, private rooms, and it really looks like you're in someone's home.
Wow.
And it's really fascinating. The challenge, however, for therapists who are used to doing all of their work in the gym,
yes,
is how do we provide therapy in this kind of setting that will produce the functional gains that will enable clients to actually live in that setting and be more functional in it. And
so,
it's really, because there's almost no gym space there.
Well, of course. So instead, it's almost like the physical therapist is going to be doing more home care, quote unquote.
That's correct.
It's going to be kind of in that, going into that room instead of bringing the patient down the hall to a gym.
Or they are being able to look at that living room and for certain parts of the day create a gym presence.
Yeah, yeah.
It's how to use that environment to maximize it, because it does assume that people are going to be able to live there. There's reason to believe that the short-term skilled care population, the Medicare part of it, you know, the people who stay, you know, 20 days or so,
yeah, yeah,
and then go home, that's where they'll be housed, that they won't be in the long-term care setting anymore.
And where are you seeing this happen? What part of the country?
Actually, I was up visiting some. There's some in, I believe it's Lebanon, Ohio.
Okay, all right. We'll check into that. Huh,
You will. They're just beginning. But there is so much going on community-based services,
yeah,
for the senior population. There's actually, and I am not personally familiar with it, I'm hopefully going to visit there in early January, but outside of Chattanooga, Tennessee, is one where they actually have created, it's a not-for-profit organization where people are paying their per diems up front. And what people are buying is someone to case manage them as they get elderly through private money, their own money,
mm-hmm,
and that they basically have a stock of money and that they're basically going to use it down. And not only is it to provide services that would be in the home, but also would provide services that would be the healthcare services, the therapies, whatever. So it should be rather interesting. They will be the ones who will say, you know, I believe this person needs the therapy, and, you know, and arrange it through the doctor. And so they actually will be a new source of providing therapy.
We will be watching that. We might have to contact you again as maybe later in 2009 and just see what how you've, you know, if you've visited any of these facilities and how they're doing and how we might learn from that. So you've been very, very
well
helpful.
We're hoping in one of these facilities, they actually, what we are going to be doing is creating the functional rehab outcome model of care for them, because while they have therapy, they're not getting the functional outcomes they need for this population. So assuming we do that project, it will be quite exciting, and so later in 2009 would be just perfect.
Okay, great. I will put it on my calendar, and listeners, I promise we will bring Fran Fowler back to you to tell us more how that project is going. Fran, thank you so much for taking your time. I know you're very, very busy, and we really appreciate you sharing all this wonderful information.
Well, thank you. I very much appreciate it. You take care, and I wish you a good holiday season.
Thank you very much. And if anyone wants to, if you have a question or want to reach Fran Fowler in some way, feel free to email me at feedback@pttalker.com, and I'll be happy to forward it on to Fran Fowler, our wonderful guest and friend of the show now. This is Jeff Worrell thanking you for listening to this edition of PT Talker, and we'll be back with more interesting news and ideas just for therapists next week.
PT Talker is a presentation of Advantage Medical, bringing you business news and ideas for therapists. Join us each week for new concepts to help you grow your rehabilitation business. To listen to previous episodes, visit us on the web at pttalker.com or on iTunes.